This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Blue Monday, how are you, Blue Monday? Got to work, like a slave all day. Here come Tuesday, oh, Tuesday. I'm so tired, got no time to play. Here come Wednesday, I'm beat to my side. Got to tell her that I'm out. Cause Thursday is a hard working day, and Friday I'll get my pay. Saturday morning, oh Saturday morning, all my tiredness they're blown away. Find my morning in my honey, and I'm out on the stage.
Fats Domino for you. Remember him? Monday morning. Hey, that's where we are right now. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, along with my buddy Big Ed Davis. Thank you for being with us. It is Monday, October the 2nd. Yeah, new month. Lots to do. We're going to be talking in a few minutes with Jessica Malugin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute. We're going to talk about the FCC, that stands for the Federal Communication Commission, the FCC's intention to reinstate net neutrality regulations. You remember that? Net neutrality was repealed 5 years ago. And Jessica says the move risks the health of telecom infrastructure. So stay tuned for that in just a few minutes. And what is going on with Republicans in the House? While Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz seeks to get rid of Kevin McCarthy from his House speakership, there is a move by some Republicans to oust Gaetz. So we're going to take a look at this soap opera with Republicans in Congress. Stay tuned for that. And a beer company puts Donald Trump's mugshot on its can and ends up with record-breaking sales. We're going to tell you all about it, so stay tuned for that a little later in the show. And in our ultimate top 10, we think we've got an interesting one, the top 10 largest cruise ships in the world. Let's see if you've ever been on one of them. That'll be towards the end of the show. By the way, we are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop. Guys, the best haircut for my money in Tampa Bay is in Dunedin, in the Overcast Plaza, Andrew's Master Barbershop. They are open Tuesday through Saturday. Please call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And ArborLife Tree Service. I have used ArborLife. They are terrific. Whether it's tree enhancement, new trees, tree removal, stump grinding, whatever it has to do with trees, it's ArborLife. Call them for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So what is going on with Florida Senator Matt Gaetz? I'm beginning to wonder if he has a screw loose. He says he's going to file a motion to vacate the chairmanship in the House this week. He wants a no-confidence vote for House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, and another vote for a new speaker. He feels that McCarthy has been working undercover with the Democrats in fashioning their legislation to keep the government running. He had made this threat, and he had told everybody that he would use this ace up his sleeve if McCarthy relied on Democrats to advance spending bills. Now, McCarthy had to use Democrats on Saturday to avoid a government shutdown. Mark Meadows threatened to use the same tactic on, remember our House Speaker John Boehner from Ohio years ago? Boehner saw that writing was on the wall and he quit before they even got to that point. So we're going to see what's going to go on here with Gaetz and his ideas. In the meantime, there's a bunch of House Republican members that are preparing a motion to expel Matt Gaetz from Congress altogether amid his threat to pursue McCarthy. They will seek to get rid of Gaetz if the Ethics Committee report comes back with findings of guilt. Now, here's the deal. The House Ethics Committee had begun investigating Gaetz in 2021 on allegations, including campaign finance violations, as well as claims of taking bribes and using drugs. These are accusations that Gaetz has vehemently denied. He also denies allegations that leaked from a Justice Department sex trafficking probe, said to have him involved in working around with underage girls. Now, if I remember right, he was found innocent of that stuff, but they can always bring this stuff off again. Now, it takes two-thirds of the House to expel somebody, and they will need Democrats to get rid of Gaetz if they want to do this. But what a soap opera they're having, right? Meantime, I'm looking up here at the screen, Ed, and apparently Trump is in court right now as we speak. He's got his... My, this is a busy week, is it not? We got a civil trial going on now. Trump's civil trial starts. It stems from our friend Letitia James in New York, the Attorney General of New York. This is a lawsuit. It's a civil lawsuit. He won't go to a jail if he's found guilty, but he'll pay a hefty sum of money.
And something about him losing control of Trump Tower, possibly? I don't know.
Yeah. He could lose a lot of his real estate holdings in New York. So that is set to begin. I see Trump is there right now. Or is he? Looks like he's standing somewhere.
No, he's there. He's there. Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's actually there right now.
He doesn't get to be the president's son and just zoom in a call.
So
it's not like he was the president or anything.
Boy,
like
he's been Trump's been making a lot of trips into court recently. Isn't this his third trip into court?
Yeah.
Good Lord. This is a non-jury trial. It's presided over by a judge by the name of Arthur Engoron. This is in Manhattan. And it comes after an appeals court rejected Trump's request to delay this trial. Well, maybe he should just get it out of the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
Trump's listed among a lot of witnesses. It's not just Trump that's basically going to have to talk. Last week, the judge ruled Trump and his organization committed fraud while building his real estate empire by deceiving banks and other institutions by overvaluing his assets and exaggerating his net worth so that he could get additional financing. Well, I would not be surprised that he did that, but all of these people and all of these companies that go and seek additional funding has a tendency, these large corporations and magnates and everything, to do exactly this. So he's not unique. They are singling him out. And we have to be honest about that. Now, the judge ordered that some of Trump's business licenses be rescinded as punishment, making it almost impossible for them to do business in New York. Well, Trump, of course, has denied any wrongdoing. He says this investigation was politically motivated and a witch hunt. Yes, it is. Certainly politically motivated. We know that, do we not? Okay, well, we will see how this thing goes on. I'll tell you what, as I said, and we've said before, Trump doesn't need all of this aggravation, you know? He's a multi-whatever. He's a billionaire, probably. He doesn't need all of this. I would just, if I had been Trump a long time ago, I would have gotten out of the whole deal. All right, anyway, let us take our break. When we come back, we're going to talk net neutrality with Jessica Malugin.
Hey. This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, when it's time for your next haircut, if you don't visit Andrew's Master Barbershop, then you won't get the best haircut in Tampa Bay. First off, their staff consists of the best barbers you're going to find. They'll give you exactly the cut you want. Second, you won't find a better haircutting environment. Sparkling clean, modern, and comfortable. And third, the price. They beat any of those expensive hair salons, and seniors get a terrific discount. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. That's on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. It's open Tuesdays through Saturdays, and you just call for your appointment at 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA-certified, and veteran-owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arborlife Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arborlife Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We're back. Freedom Works on a Monday. Thank you so very much for being with us. Delighted to have Jessica Malugin join us. She is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And we're going to talk about this move by the Federal Communications Commission to reinstate something called net neutrality. These were rules that were repealed 5 years ago, and they want to bring it back under the new under the chair, I guess her name is Jessica Rosenworcel. So we're going to find out a little bit about what is going on here with Jessica Malugin. Jessica, welcome back.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to have you. You know so doggone much. So tell us a little bit about, now I remember from, of course, the radio days, the idea of net neutrality. The first thing I would think about is that you had to be even-handed when you were talking anything political on the airwaves. And if you said something that favored one side of the aisle, then you had to bring somebody on that would be able to say something that favored the other side of the aisle. It became so burdensome that they finally got rid of it. Is this a kind of a different net neutrality?
Yeah, well, it's the same concept, and you're right. What you remember is the fairness doctrine, and it was, of course, the late, great Ronald Reagan who did away with that. And this is sort of that same idea, but applied to our internet broadband networks. And it's a little more about data than about content, but basically what net neutrality regulation says is that the companies that own those networks are not allowed to block any site, they're not allowed to slow down data, and they're not allowed to speed up data in the sense that you might be able to pay for what they call paid prioritization. And that all kind of sounds nice and equitable and fair, but when you dig in a little bit, you realize that managing those networks in that way is often exactly what needs to happen. So as far as a prioritized paid fast lane, you know, you might not need that in your daily life, but if one day you are in a very tricky, complicated remote surgery situation, you would want that data sped up, right? You would want that data prioritized. So really what we have here is sort of a disconnect between how where the world is moving to with these networks and where we are now. And I think that's something to keep in mind when we worry about these heavy-handed regulations coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems like every time that the government wants to try to even things out, it ends up making things more expensive, more burdensome. The product, whatever it is that they are trying to correct, becomes less efficient,
more costly and all of that. Is that the case with net neutrality here?
Yeah, I think that's fair. You know, under the Trump administration, then FCC Chair Ajit Pai took off these regulations. And at the time, people just lost their minds. They told us that it was going to be the end of the internet as we knew it, and the sky was going to fall, and you weren't going to be able to access websites, and it was just going to be a mess. But of course, as we know, that hasn't happened since 2017. So this is really a cure in seeking a problem here. Everything's working great without these regulations on our network, and we don't need to interfere, right? The first rule of regulation is you have to identify real market failure and a real problem before you go in there and put a bunch of bureaucrats in charge of the internet. You know, based on performance in other areas, I don't think anyone wants the U.S. government in charge of that.
Yeah, absolutely. We're talking with Jessica Malugin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute about the FCC's move to try and reinstate net neutrality. What is their real intention? Well, I mean, they must know this. The FCC must know that when they do something like this, it's going to bog down everything. Is there some underlying reason? I mean, is there some conspiratorial reason for wanting to do this?
Yeah, I mean, not to get too philosophical on a Monday morning, but, you know, I think that there's kind of two worldviews at work here, and there's a clash, right? There's people like probably many of your listeners and you and I who really have a lot of confidence in the market's ability to sort these things out. And we understand that private property, that includes internet networks, and the rule of law and the incentive to make your customers happy is more than sufficient here. But you had to have this competing worldview with a lot of regulators in D.C. that says, you know, we just can't trust that, and it's better to have these enlightened, benevolent politicians and regulators be putting their finger on the scales. And what's fascinating in this case is we already have a great case study. You know, during the COVID pandemic, we all went online, right, to learn, to work, to entertain ourselves, and also so did Europe. And Europe has these kinds of regulations, super heavy-handed, their version of net neutrality. And they really struggled there. EU bureaucrats had to beg Disney, please don't release Disney Plus right now. Our networks can't handle it. Please, edge providers, please start throttling data. Our networks can't handle it. And, of course, here, we did great. Our networks held up beautifully, right? It's not that there weren't glitches, but for the most part, we were all able to go home and do all the things we needed to do online. And that's because the private incentive to invest in networks is so much better when you don't have a bureaucrat waiting in the wings for, you know, to rate regulate you or otherwise interfere with what you would do for your customers. So we kind of had this perfect science experiment. And I think that the FCC right now is just sort of ignoring that. And that's a problem, right? I think they have good intentions, but I just think they're misplaced here.
Yeah. Now, the chair of the FCC, was that somebody that was appointed? You'll have to help me out on this. Was she appointed by Joe Biden?
Yeah, well, you know, I think she's even been there longer. But sort of the political background here is this. The Biden administration has said in 2021, President Biden signed an executive action that they asking the FCC to reinstitute net neutrality. So this has been a priority for that administration. But unfortunately for them, they have not been able to get the commission filled with enough Democrats until just recently to make that happen. So just recently, a new commissioner was approved by the U.S. Senate. So now this current chair, Jessica Rosenworcel, has her Democratic majority, and she did not waste any time. You know, weeks after that, this is going to come up for a vote at the FCC later on this month, and they've really lost so much time, right? Because if there's a flip in the next couple years of who's president, that changes the political game. So they're really trying to get this done before they run out of time, and they're on a bit of a shot clock. So they're taking the opportunity.
So how does the process work? The FCC moves to reinstate net neutrality. Do they just dictate that it's become the law once again? I would suspect they have to go through some sort of democratic approach through Congress, or how does that work?
You would hope so, and you would think so, and that's actually sort of the question of whether or not the FCC will be successful in this. What they do, they made this announcement, and then it's an open meeting. They'll officially pass the notice that they're going to do this, and they'll open it up for comments for a period of time where the public can comment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then if they vote on it as an ultimate rule, then it'll go into effect. Now, you've hit the nail on the head here with what the problems might be, because since the last time the FCC tried to do this, the Supreme Court has become very concerned about the major questions doctrine. And all that means is, are these agencies allowed to do major, big, political, economic things without Congress explicitly saying they can? And in this case, Congress has never said explicitly that they can do this. So if the vote is successful at the FCC, expect a court challenge.
Yeah.
And I think it's very likely this won't pass muster. The conservative Supreme Court is not in the mood to defer to these agencies anymore. So we might see it end up in court like so many things do today.
Yes, indeed. We're talking again with Jessica Malugin of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, where she is the director of the Center for Technology and Innovation. And we like to have innovation in our internet, and we like to have that freedom. It seems like there's always been an assault, especially in the last few years, on the freedom of the internet, whether it's platforms and speech. And in this case, I'm beginning to think, Jessica, that thank God we do have a conservative Supreme Court, because I'm just thinking, as you were talking, that thank God we can, you know, if 'cause it sounds like it doesn't make any difference what the feedback is going to be for the FCC. They're going to go ahead and vote net neutrality through if they can get by with it and get through this process before a new election. And then it indeed will be, you know, Republicans will push something into the, I would think, to the lap of the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I just wouldn't be surprised at all. You know, you kind of see across the board, right, there's this inability to come to a political consensus in Congress. So then the agencies move in to fill in that gap. And right now you have a very left of center agency set. So everything's kind of going in that direction. And I think, unfortunately, the only recourse is going to be to take it to the court and say, hey, does the FCC really have the authority to do this big of a policy move, this impactful of a policy choice, without Congress explicitly saying, yes, you guys get to do this? And as we know, I mean, Congress has a lot of trouble. This weekend, I give them full credit, accepted, but they have a lot of trouble getting anything done. So what you kind of have is a power vacuum, and right now, you're right, it's the courts that are sort of protecting that space and holding that space and saying, Congress, you got to do your job one way or the other here.
Yeah, indeed. You know, it seems like the Democrats, especially the Biden administration, and maybe the Obama administration as well, has been stepping across the line when it comes to their authority, its authority, the executive branch's authority, and they tend to forget when they start, you know, going after student loan dictums and things here with the FCC, that they're an executive branch. Their job is to execute the laws that have been passed by Congress. I just don't see the connection here with Congress and net neutrality, I guess you could say.
Yeah, we're talking about a Telecommunications Act that was originally created in the 1930s. So it was mostly written to address telephone technology, and it was updated in 1996, but nothing in either one of those bills gives the FCC power to treat these kind of information systems like their copper wire telephone, right? And I will also say, when they did treat telephone that way, it was a disaster, right? We had to wait decades for those cells to be broken up, and that's when we saw really the innovation and the new products coming out in this sphere. For decades in America, you know, we had a phone. And that was all we had.
That's right.
The FCC was in charge of so much. You know, the wireless phone was invented decades before it came to market because, you know, the AT&T and the FCC had a cozy little deal.
They sure did.
And we don't want to, see that creep back into the next generation, right, which is clearly the internet. And there's so much promise there. It just would be a shame to shackle that with sort of a mother may I approach to these innovations, right? We want entrepreneurs and even these big telephone companies. We want them trying new things and introducing new services. We, you know, let the market decide what's the winner and what's the loser. I'm all for that. But a bunch of bureaucrats in D.C. deciding, I think, is a recipe for disaster.
Oh, you're absolutely right. I remember when AT&T was the only long-distance service. Remember, we all, you had to save your nickels if you were going to make a long-distance call. And then remember when they opened it up and all of a sudden the cost of long-distance dropped like a rock, and now you don't even think twice when you're calling across the country. Jessica Malugin, it's always a pleasure. Keep up the good fight at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and I know we will talk again soon.
It's absolutely my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jessica. Jessica Malugin. All righty. Let us take our break. When we come back, a beer company puts Donald Trump's mugshot on its can, ends up with record-breaking sales. We're going to tell you all about it.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Our Freedom Works radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Monday, October the 2nd, to be exact. And here I am. I'm watching Donald Trump. He's sitting in a New York courtroom. And I got a story here in front of me about a New York congressman pulling a fire alarm to slow down the vote.
No. That's how you open the door.
Oh.
You pull the alarm and it opens the door.
Well, I stand corrected. The gentleman was just trying to get in to make his vote. Well, speaking about that, we got two guys. One used to live in New York. The other one still does. The Ceresi brothers, Angelo in Rochester, New York.
By the way, a quick correction earlier on your Senator Boehnert.
Oh, okay.
You said he quit.
He did quit.
Well, first he cried, then he quit.
Oh, yeah. Yes, he did.
I miss him.
I do, too.
He was good for a laugh.
He was. When he was announcing that he was leaving, or after he had left.
He cried.
No, he was crying while he was leaving. But I remember he was laughing and feeling really good after he quit. It was like the world's problems had been lifted from his shoulders. Mm. I remember that. Anyway. We got lots going on in New York, and we got Angelo and Andrew Ceresi. Guys, I'm looking and watching Donald Trump. He's sort of staring straight ahead at the judge, probably. And if looks could kill, the judge would fall out of his chair. So I want to get your opinion on what's going on here in New York in this civil trial going after Donald Trump's corporation. What do you think, Angelo?
Well, I think it's all a political farce is all it is. I think the judge is appointed by the Democrats, right?
I'm sure.
Fraud. They're coming up with fraud charges. This is that Letitia James. She's doing this thing.
Yes. She's the attorney general there, and you're right. So Trump was trying to keep this from starting so quickly. He wanted to wait. But I'm thinking, Andrew, maybe it's a good idea he can get this thing quickly out of the way. What do you think?
Well, I think he needs to get it out of the way, and I think that he needs to put Letitia James in jail. That's what I think. I mean, it's a bunch of malarkey. You know it, and I know that. I'm even using Biden's word, malarkey. My goodness.
Yeah.
But, it's a bunch of baloney.
Of course.
And let's get it over with, and let's get Letitia James in trouble for all the stuff she's trying to do that she shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
Overreach your power, buddy.
Yeah, I hear you. So now we've got this guy, I didn't even know who he was. He's a Democratic congressman, Jamal Bowman. He's caught on camera pulling a fire alarm in a House office building on Saturday morning in an effort to slow down the vote on a bill regarding the government shutdown. Now he says that he accidentally pulled the alarm, that he was just trying to go through the door. If that is the case, this is the dumbest congressman that has ever walked the aisles of the Capitol building, and he needs to be removed and placed somewhere where he cannot hurt himself.
My question is that the first time he's ever gone through that door?
Good Lord.
You gotta be careful. He could be starting a new fad for these kids on TikTok, you know?
Yeah.
To dare them to start going and pull fire alarms in the elevators and
God forbid.
Hotels.
God forbid.
Sure.
When does the doorknob look fire red?
It wasn't even close to the door. Did you see that picture? When he's pulling the alarm, it's not even close to the door.
Now, I heard this morning by a friend of mine that this was the second time he's done this.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised, although I don't know that. Should this guy... Okay, let me ask both of you. I mean, the way they talked about the January 6th intervention when it came to the Capitol. What do you think about this guy? Does he need to be expelled, or what? What do you think, Angelo?
He needs to be expelled, and he needs to be charged, and he should be impeached as a congressman.
Uh-huh.
You know what they did to Donald Trump? They should do to him, too. Right?
I think you're right.
It's an insurrection, what he did.
Yeah, actually it is.
Okay, it's no different than what they did. He needs 20 years in jail.
You don't see the mainstream media talking much about it, do you?
No,
they're not going to.
No.
Because he's a Democrat and he's a black congressman. Right?
He's got it all going for him.
Yes, he does. So we got a lot going on this week. I talked a little earlier, maybe I'll get your thoughts on it, about this move to oust Kevin McCarthy as the Speaker of the House by this Florida congressman and a Republican, Matt Gaetz. Andrew, what do you think about this whole imbroglio with McCarthy and Gaetz?
I think they need to throw McCarthy to the fish. He's a rhino.
Okay.
Period.
He had to work.
I think Matt Gaetz is 100% right.
Do you? Do you think that if Matt Gaetz had had his way, they would have passed anything, though? In other words, we would have shut the government down, would we not?
Well, hey, you know what? They need to be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Let it cool off for a while, because everything they're doing is a mistake. If they shut the government down, does that shut off all the money for the migrants or what?
Yeah, well, they did not include any additional security measures for the border with what Kevin McCarthy came up with. They kept that out.
They're not migrants. They're asylum seekers now. Remember that. Asylum seekers.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
go ahead.
The Republicans always argue amongst themselves. You know what? Pass their darn budget. Let the government keep going. We'll have our chance in 2024 to get the ball rolling, start getting this country back in shape again.
Well, we might be broke by then because they wanted to put more money to the Ukraine.
Oh, well,
they did.
What the heck's the difference?
They did.
We only got so much.
Well, they'll print some more. That's all.
That's about right.
They'll just keep printing it, you know, as we go along.
Well, here's the deal. This is only a continuing resolution. In other words, in 45 days, we're going to be here again trying to figure this out.
And the same thing will happen again.
The Democrats always stick together. The Republicans fight amongst themselves. They better get their act together, okay? I mean, we gotta fight on our hands. We gotta take back this country. Your Florida congressman better get his act together. stop the infighting and all that stuff. Get the Republican Party going back together again. Stop the infighting, and let's get concentrate on the presidential election. These people that are running for president right now, quit their campaigning, stick by Donald Trump, and call the Democrats bluff to see what they're going to do.
Well, that would be some feat, Angelo, if you can get all of these Republicans that are running for the presidency on the Republican ticket to all of a sudden go, you know what? Let's all just get behind Donald Trump. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, you know, with the points that they've got with each other, they're going to run out of money anyway because no one's going to contribute to them. Once they're out of money, there goes the
campaign.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing is, the majority of the Republican Party wants Donald Trump, correct?
It looks like it, yes.
62%.
That's what these people should honor. They should honor the people in the Republican Party in the United States.
And they won't honor them.
In trying to split this party, they're going to do more damage than anything else.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to honor them, Angelo, because they're not honorable people. These are people that are all out for themselves trying to make the big name.
Well, and that always is the case, is it not, when we have people running for the presidency? By the way, I got to ask you this. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is about to announce that he is going to become an independent presidential candidate. He may indeed run on the Libertarian Party ticket, which will be very interesting. That the Libertarian Party will compromise itself a little bit to accept him. But anyway, my question is this. Do you think that he will hurt the Republican, let's say Trump, if he was the Republican nominee, or Biden, if RFK Jr. runs as an independent? What do you think, Andrew?
I think he's going to hurt both of them.
Do you?
Yep. People like what Robert Kennedy has to say.
So you think a bunch of Republicans would vote for him?
Well, you know, you have the Republicans that don't want Trump. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That'll probably swing that way.
Okay. That's a good point.
It'll give them a third option. Instead of not voting for Trump and voting for Biden, it'll give them a third option now.
Yeah. What do you think, Angelo?
Well, I think Robert Kennedy, he represents the old Democratic Party, the party that Ronald Reagan, the Reagan Democrats. And I think that's going to hurt both of them, to be honest.
Oh, okay.
I really believe that, you know, I mean, he's still, you know, he's got some good ideas, but he's still a Democrat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's still going to be those liberal ways, no matter how you look at it.
I would think he'd hurt Biden more.
I hope he does. I mean, he's, you know, the thing is, the Democratic Party is not fractured like the Republican Party is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got to look at it that way. I mean, they're going to stay behind Biden. Okay? They're going to stay in behind Biden all the way. He's not going to siphon votes away. He's going to siphon votes away from the Republicans.
I still think that Biden, I mean, every time you see him, he looks a little bit more groggy.
But they're still going to go for him. I mean, they're standing behind him no matter what.
Well, they're standing behind him. Maybe a couple of them are going to push him forward and he's going to fall flat on his face. What about Gavin Newsom? Isn't there a good chance that, what do you think, Andrew? Do you think Gavin Newsom might be the guy for the...
Mr. Hollywood is the man.
He's the man?
I told you that a year ago.
Yeah.
They're going to go for him.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. They think Mr. Hollywood's got what it takes.
Mr. Hollywood.
I would love to see Donald Trump debate Mr. Hollywood, because I think he'd make him.
Well, Mr. Hollywood is going to debate Governor Ron DeSantis.
Yep.
So Mr. Hollywood and Ron DeSantis, I would pay to see that one.
Well, you're gonna have to pay. It's gonna be free on Fox.
It's gonna be on Fox on Sean Hannity's show.
And honestly, you're gonna see Newsom be the smooth talker. But, you know, Ron is going to go in there with all the facts in his hands because he's got him in his head. The kid's got a photographic memory, and when he starts throwing numbers and percentages and facts at Newsom, Newsom's not going to know what to do.
I'll say one thing about Ron DeSantis. And by the way, I shows you how much I got to do. I watched a goodly amount for a second time of that Republican debate. Ron DeSantis really prepares. You might not want to back him or, you know, whatever, but Ron DeSantis, you got to admit, that guy is ready. When he comes out to talk, he's ready. You know, he's ready to do it.
No question. I told you, he has a photographic memory. Yeah. I don't know if you know that or not.
Yeah, you had said that. He sounds like he does.
There's no question about it.
You know, he rarely makes any mistakes when he talks. He's like, it's almost like it's just right in front of him, you know, he's reading it. He's not. But, I mean, like you say, with a photographic memory, he rarely says something where he, you know, screws up his words. He's very, very good. Very good. Anyway, guys, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so very much for being with us. Angelo, you take good care up there as our eye in the northern sky. And Andrew, as always, thanks, buddy.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Take care.
Thanks, guys.
I forgot to ask Angelo if it stopped raining up there.
Oh, he's still there, Angelo? Did it stop raining? He left us.
No, they're there.
Oh. I'm here.
He's there.
Oh, you're there. Is it raining?
No, it's 75 degrees right now. And we did have a little bit of rain. New York City got the worst of it, though.
Yeah.
We didn't get that much.
They sure did. All kinds of flooding there. Yeah. Amazing. Okay, guys, thanks again. All right, let's take our break. When we come back, as promised, a beer company has the Trumpster's mugshot on its can, and boy, did their sales go right through the roof.
Please don't talk about love tonight. Please don't talk about sweet love. Please don't talk about being true.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, and insect control to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
Our FreedomWorks radio show has been proud these many years to be sponsored by what I think is the best men's barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. You'll get exactly the cut you desire and get it at the best price in Pinellas County. The staff is expert in quality haircuts, and the shop is always clean, sparkling, and attractive. And Andrew's Master Barbershop is easy to get to, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesdays through Saturdays, so men, call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back on a Monday for the last segment of Freedom Works. We thank you so very much for being with us. By the way, we are here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. However, if you are not able to listen live, you can listen to us on podcast. Big Ed puts all our shows on podcast. All you got to do is go to our website, ourfreedomworks.com. That's O-U-R, ourfreedomworks.com. Look up at the top, podcast button, click. There you go. And Ed has all the shows, most recent at the top. He will tell you who the guest is on there and the topic with the guest and also the top 10, ourfreedomworks.com. So, Ed, did you ever hear of this beer called Ultra Right?
No, I have not.
That's called Ultra Right, the beer brand that launched as a woke-free Bud Light beer alternative, okay? It's raked in $500,000 in just 12 hours after it released a special edition can that featured the historic mugshot of Donald Trump. Remember that mugshot he had to take?
Yeah. I wonder if he get a piece of that. Imagine he would, wouldn't he?
I would think that he might be. And look at all the T-shirt sales with his mugshot on it. You would think so.
What a difference.
You would think so.
Bud Light puts that tranny girl on, door guy, whatever, and there's major, major fallback from that.
Yeah.
And the hated Donald Trump goes on there and makes millions of dollars.
The first ever mugshot of a former president was taken of Trump in August after he was indicted in Georgia on those 13 charges. The guy that's running the ultra-right beer company, his name is Seth Weathers. And it's called Conservative Dad's Ultra-Right Beer. Okay? He launches this limited edition collector's can, which, by the way, I think is running out now. I think I read here somewhere that, oh, here it is, that you can order a six-pack of this limited edition beer, and it's listed online for a price of $25 plus shipping.
That's for a six-pack?
It's for a six-pack.
It better be good beer. I mean, listen, the picture's one thing, but it better be good beer.
It better be damn good beer.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that. So right now, he's doing pretty well. The CEO, Seth Weathers, said that the beer sales were equivalent to over 5 tractor loads of cans in what he described as the most sought-after collector beer can in American history. So there you go. Wow.
Go figure.
Let's go. Technically, the sale of these cans, I guess, at least in retail, ended this weekend. So maybe you can go online and get it. Ultra Right Beer. All right. So, Ed, before we get to our top 10, which is a very interesting one, top 10 largest cruise line ships, why not talk to you? First of all, the regular season in Major League Baseball is now ended, which means that our beloved Tampa Bay Rays have made the playoffs. Well, we know that. And you told me originally you thought that they might be playing the Toronto Blue Jays in the playoffs, but that is not the case?
No, it's not the case. The Rays went into Toronto and got 2 out of 3, which is nice. But they were planning on seeing the Blue Jays again. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but the fact is when Seattle went to Texas, they were predicted to win that series, and they did not, which put the Rays will be at home on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday at 3 o'clock for a game against the Texas
Rangers.
Yep, which they do not have a good record against this year. In other words, the Rays have won 2 and lost 6 games.
Uh-oh, I'm a little afraid of that. But they have a better record than the Texas Rangers.
Oh, yeah, much better.
And is it the best of 5?
No, it's 3. It's 3 games.
Oh, okay. So
it's
the first
2 out of 3.
So the first 2 games are in.
No, all 3 are here, I believe. I believe all 3 are here.
Oh, I don't think they would do that. Would they?
Maybe the third one's in Texas.
I think game 3 would be in Texas. Well, anyway.
I just saw the first 2
all right.
here.
Well, if we win the first 2, we won't have to worry about it.
Right.
All right. Secondly.
And then the Bucks yesterday.
That's what I was going to ask you about Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
They go into New Orleans and win, which they were not predicted to win, when they basically manhandled them, kept the Saints out of the end zone, period. No touchdowns.
Really?
And then our beloved Jameis.
What about Jameis
got
Winston?
Got into the game. We thought he was going to start. He did not start the game. He did not even play until the last.
Why?
Because Derek Carr, the quarterback for the Saints, was okay to play.
Oh.
But when the game was out of hand at 26-9 for the last series of the Saints, they put Jameis in.
Oh.
Jameis drops back, throws it deep. It's picked off.
Oh.
One pass, one
pick.
Well,
yeah, but they put him in a very.
I know, but it was a bad pass.
It was a bad pass.
Just bad pass.
We remember when Jameis, excuse me, was with the Bucks, and we used to watch him, and we'd go, boy, he could really thread the needle on pass. And then all of a sudden, he would throw it right to right to another defender.
The thing is, on Saturday, we all had a bet that Jameis would throw at least one interception. And then when he didn't start the game, we thought, oh, no. And he got in there, and I got on the phone. I go, well, he's got one pass. Oh, no, he did not.
That's what is the Bucks record now?
They are 3-1.
Hey, that's great. Yeah. My beloved Bears were up 21-7 against an 0-3 team at home. Yeah. They were playing the Denver Broncos, and they lost.
So the Bears sick. And the Panthers, they're the only four. Winless teams.
Yeah, the Bears may be the worst team in football. Four. Yeah. Okay, Ed, happier news. The 10 largest cruise ships in the world, top 10, okay? That's what we're going to do. Comes from cruisehive.com, so they should know what it's all about. You ready? Here we go. Number 10. It's called the P&O Iona. P, Paul, and O, Iona. It's a liner from P&O Cruises. It was launched October of 2020. It is 1,128 feet long, gross tonnage of about 184,000 pounds. It can hold 5,200 passengers. That's pretty good. Number nine.
Last cruise ship I was on held three.
Three passengers.
3,000.
Oh, 3,000 passengers. That's pretty good, man. Number nine. Costa Toscana. And this is launched 2021. It's Costa Cruises, 1,106 feet long, 185,000 plus gross tonnage, 5,224 passengers. Number eight. Another Costa Cruises liner, Costa Smeralda. Launched December 2019, 1,106 feet long, 185,000 gross tonnage, 6,600 passengers. Wow. All right, number seven. Arvia, A-R-V-I-A, from P&O Cruises. It was launched 2022, 1,130 feet, 185,000 gross tonnage, 5,200 passenger capacity. Six. It's called MSC World Europe. MSC World Europe from MSC Cruises. It was launched in 2022. 1,094 feet, 216,000 gross tonnage, 6,762 passengers. Number five, Allure of the Seas. And I'm going to tell you something right now, Ed. The rest of these ships are all from Royal Caribbean, every one of them, okay? Allure of the Seas, launched in 2010, 1,187 feet, 225,000 plus in gross tonnage, capacity 5,400 passengers. Number four, another Royal Caribbean, Oasis of the Seas, 2009 launch, 1,187 feet long, 227,000 gross tonnage, 5,400 passengers. Number three. It's all got Of the Seas on it. This one is Harmony of the Seas. Launched 2016, 1,155 feet in length, 227,500 gross tonnage, 5,480 passengers. Number two. They must be running out of names for these ships. Symphony of the Seas. It was launched in 2018. 1,188 feet, 228,000 gross tonnage, 5,518 passengers. And number one, Wonder of the Seas. It's operational 2022, 1,188 feet, 237,000 gross tonnage, 5,734 passengers. Boy, you can run around.
In 2025, Royal Caribbean's International Icon of the Seas will be coming out 250,000 tons and 7,000 passengers, 4,000 crew members.
Oh, 7,000 passengers.
Yeah.
That'll be like...
We got to go.
Okay, we got to go. Hey, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.